Blessings. You're listening to the Moon Mason Experience. I'm Moon Mason, and today my guest is the head visionary behind Finest Spring and Alive Spring Water, Chris Stanborn. Welcome, Chris. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
It's so weird calling you Chris because, and I maybe even said Stanborn, but Chris Stanborn. I always called you Mukunde or Mookie also. So yeah, this is the first time I'm calling you Chris. Like, do you want to talk a little bit about why you changed it to Mukunde and then why you changed it back to Chris?
Sure. Yeah. So I was in the Kundalini cult, Kundalini yoga, which there were some great things about it. Gave me more peace and a lot of tools on how to meditate and yoga and that kind of thing. It's so interesting. Like, that life is just so much different from where I am now. You know, at the time of changing my name to Mukunde, I was vegetarian, part of the time vegan. Just not using any substances, just really, it was like a different phase of my life. And part of the reason I did the name change, because I thought it was cool to have like a name that was unique, not just like Chris. But it's funny because it became more of a burden, like meeting with people, like meeting someone for the first time, they'd be like, what's your name? How do you say that? What does that mean? And it's like turned into like a whole thing. So it's just so much easier to say Chris. Everyone knows what that means.
And so do people still call you Mukunde, most of your friends?
A few do. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it, either one.
Okay. So Chris Mukunde and I met because I was a customer of his, and then basically that just flourished into a friendship. And that was about 3.5 years ago. And I'm pretty obsessed with wellness. I mean, that's definitely how I've maintained my looks and my body. And so people may not know, but I do heavy digging, you know, into whatever it is that I'm consuming. And it took me quite a bit of research, but I did find Chris's business, and then I became a customer. So Chris, why don't you tell us about your business?
Sure. So I started my water delivery business 2014, just going to the spring and collecting it myself in 5-gallon glass jugs, because I realized all the spring water that is for sale around the world, really, for the most part, is processed and sterilized for cheaper transport and shelf stability. So that's like killing the healthy microbes, which our bodies are biologically adapted to thrive from. And you can just feel the difference. Like, I felt a huge difference once I started. I actually used Find a Spring, and I went and gathered my own spring water. And it was just this beautiful experience. And I immediately just felt like more peacefulness and vitality. And I wanted to share that with more people.
Yeah. So there's so many water options, but I mean, I'm still a huge fan of spring water. I mean, can you talk a little bit about like how it's coming from the aquifers, is it? And then it's just a little bit more about the technical stuff with the earth and how, I mean, it's really just natural. But yeah, can you explain a little
bit? Yeah. So it's interesting because there's this, a lot of people have this idea that like nothing in nature is left that's pure. Like you know, oh, every industrial contamination, you know, is everywhere and pollution. But the cool thing about springs is they're filtered through the earth. So that's one way that they get, you know, it's kind of like the earth's cleansing process. And then there's also some springs which are primary water sources, which actually means the earth has an ability to create water inside the crust of the earth. As crazy as that sounds, there's actually more water like inside the earth than in the oceans. And this has actually been well documented in publications like Time and Popular Science. So it's pretty well proven at this point. So yeah, that's why we, you know, we chose a primary water source that's just absolutely pure. It's got the best mineral composition I've ever seen. You know, looking at water, obviously there's a big variation in the quality of some springs compared to others. You know, you want to have, there's like the four primary electrolytes, you know, you want to have calcium's the last one. But you don't want too much calcium, like a water like Mountain Valley. If you boil that in a pot, you'll see like a scaly, like white residue left over. So like that's a circumstance where there's just too much calcium. And then silica is like the rare beauty mineral. It's actually like these little like rainbow crystals. And there's quite a bit in the Opal spring water that we source for the majority of California. And then, you know, obviously we deliver in glass, really beautiful, convenient, 2.5 gallon jugs, which makes a big difference. You know, obviously all plastic, even BPA free, still leaches weird stuff. And then, you know, since it's, living water, we, package it directly into, glass, and then it goes into refrigerated trucks and then refrigerated storage until it reaches people, so that it doesn't, the microalgae don't, get funky before, people get the water.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I just got a delivery, like a couple days ago. So yeah, I think, where do you deliver, like, just so people know, in California?
Right now it's San Diego to north of San Francisco. Okay. But we're also looking at expanding to Portland and Seattle and Texas as well.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty soon.
So yeah, I think, what do you want to talk a little bit about Find a Spring? Because that's actually how I think I found you. I mean, hopefully it's easier to find you these days, but I definitely found you through digging through Find a Spring and different links and stuff. So yeah, do you want to talk about that site?
Cool. Yeah. So Find a Spring was created by Daniel Vitalis a little over 10 years ago. And it's this beautiful site that is just a global map of all cold and hot springs. And it's been so useful to me. Like, you know, I love traveling, and anywhere you go, it's like great to just, you check it out. And that's the first thing I do, is I'll go and connect with the land and connect with the water and get my water for the trip. And yeah, it's been such an invaluable resource to me. And they kind of let the site go. I mean, they never made money from it. So it was hard for them to keep putting money into developing it and just paying for the map servers and, you know, the whole thing. So last year, 2019, I decided to purchase Find a Spring from Daniel and his partner Leilon, with the intention to improve it. Now you can add reviews, you can upload water test results, photos, videos, enabling more like community chat features. We've got discounted water test kits for people now on the site. Just a lot more functionality. And yeah, we're converting that. It's in the final stages of being a nonprofit, which is amazing that, you know, now it's a place that people can make tax deductible donations to and know that that water is going to developing the site, providing more community education for the importance of really like protecting water, having a relationship with it. So you really understand the importance, getting out in nature, and potentially, you know, working on projects that will protect access for the public ongoing. And yeah, it's worked out really well for us because we have the best glass in the whole world for collecting and storing and transporting water. So yeah, it's nice that Alive Water can sell our glass through Find a Spring and have that as a great referral source.
Yeah, the glass is amazing. It has the Flower of Life pattern on it. And whenever I'm out with it, people are always asking me about it. So I always refer them to the sites. I love that you're doing the water testing. Is that what does it test for? And is it just the test that you really like that you decided to like wholesale kind of or retail?
Yeah. So for water delivery, we do a very comprehensive annual test that tests for everything. And there's never been even a trace of industrial age contamination in that. And then we do test each batch for harmful bacteria. Just by law, we actually have to. But then for Find a Spring, we work with national testing labs. I like them because they have good rates, they're quick, and they have some really good comprehensive tests. So basically, like, people just use a coupon code and then they get 15% off whichever test they want. You know, they can decide there's like a good, better, and best option, just depending on like what people's budget is.
So you have to send the water in, or is it something that's done right away?
Yeah, they send it. They'll ship it back to national testing labs, and then they get the report in like, it's usually like 1 to 3 weeks after mailing it.
I feel like there are some that people you can test right away. Have you seen those? I've seen one of my friends has that.
Yeah, they're pretty basic though. There's not like, you're not gonna get like a mineral report from that, or like to see if there's any like fertilizers or like weird stuff. You know, that being said, like I've tasted water from hundreds of springs without testing it. You know, a lot of it's just good judgment and common sense. It's like, how did our ancestors survive for 99.9% of our existence before we had chlorine and UV lights and ozone gas and that whole thing, you know? So a lot of it's, like I said, common sense. Like, you want to drink it right out of the spring head, not like downstream where an animal might have defecated in it. You know, what's above it? Is there like farm above it, or like a bunch of houses? So yeah, a lot of these factors that you want to think about. But you know, ultimately it's nice to have that test just to see like, oh, what is the mineral report, what's the pH, all that stuff.
Yeah, totally, because I want to eventually live in a place where the water source, or I want to have a land where the water source is on either a well or a spring, you know? Isn't that, are wells like kind of like springs or?
Good question. Yeah, there's, you know, there's some wells that are better than some springs. There's a lot of factors. Again, it's like, is how deep is the well? How pure is that water table? Is the well stagnant? What's the mineral composition? There's so many different factors just depending on, and then like, you know, what's your local spring like? Like we've got a spring here on Kauai, that's about 30 minutes from us. And it's great. It's like really in a pristine environment. It is a bit of a hike. It's like kind of a steep, rocky little path, but it's fun. You know, it's like a little workout and get some time in nature. And it's interesting once you, like when you collect water, or even like, I feel like if you get water delivery, you know, you just start to, like in those beautiful glass bottles, you start to think about it more. It's like, wow, like it's not just some ubiquitous thing that comes out of the spigot whenever I turn it, like instantly, you know. It's like it feels more precious to you, I think, when you actually put in the work to really have good water.
Yeah, it's crazy how people pay so much for water and it's not even good water, or even the water bills I feel we're paying for and it's like super contaminated. And I know you're like obsessed with that, like me, like with shower filters and everything. And yeah, I feel that wells are kind of the way, if you're, or a spring. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of houses that are on actual springs too. So, I mean, it's just, if you care, then you'll do that, you know. And it's not everywhere where people can access that, but
yeah, it's true. It is true. And you know, like I feel for people who live in cities like New York or something where they just, you know, they don't have a car, like, you know, or I mean a lot of places all over the planet, you know, it's like not everyone does have the resources to go out and drive out to a spring. And you know, it's that's like part of the reason why we started Alive Water, to offer it to anyone, even if they're in a city, you know, like Los Angeles. The closest good spring is at Big Bear Mountain, like 3 hours away. So it's just not that practical for people with busy lives and families to make that trip. But, you know, that being said, it's like, it's still a fun thing to do every once in a while, you know, go out to Big Bear with your family, like even if you do get water delivery, and, you know, go to the hot springs out there, or, you know, just make it like a monthly trip where you get a bunch of jugs and make a fun trip out of it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, are we 80% water? Is that our composition as humans or something?
I've heard a huge difference in opinion on this one. One thing I do know is people tend to have less water composition as they grow older. Like babies are like 90% water or something, and like when someone dies or like closer to like 50%. So I think it's really interesting. It's like, yeah, it's like almost like they're losing kind of their,
fluidity.
Yeah. Great word.
To be like water and just be able to flow. And I mean, there's so many symbolic things about water and the resonance of where it came from, and we're putting it in our body, and that what we're putting in our body is creating our everything. I mean, it's like watering our seeds. It's like feeding us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so huge. And it's just wild, you know, because I feel like We're definitely like a growing minority, but it's like, you know, 99.9% of people, maybe not that much, because some people do live rurally, they drink from wells, and a lot of people do drink from spring, but you know, probably 80 to 90% of the country is just drinking processed dead water. And yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that shifts over the next decade. You know, people are like pretty hip to the thing about of like processed foods and how that's not really the best thing at this point. And I'm excited for more awareness to come to processed water and the potential shortcomings of that.
Yeah, whenever I buy like a plastic bottle, I mean, whether it's with food or a liquid, I'm always like, I'm sorry. Like when I throw it out, because I feel like I know that's not what I want to be doing, but it's not like the way of the world living in a city, you know, or.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I'm just as guilty. Like, you know, I don't, it's like a lot of the stuff I buy at the grocery store is in single use containers. But there's countries in Europe where like they have like a standard system, like everyone just uses like reusable containers. So, you know, there is options that we can do.
Like restaurants should be doing this. Like that's how the change needs to happen. Like you're actually doing it, you know what I mean? Which is awesome. Yeah. But it's like, why aren't restaurants just doing it where you just have
Some places are like Air One, right?
Like, I mean, they do recycling. You can bring a container.
Yeah, reuse their little $15 juice bottles.
I know, it's crazy. They add the $1.50 on it, and then you don't even like get it back until you return the bottle. But it's like, that's kind of a lot for when the juice is already like $10 or whatever.
Yeah, but hey, it gives you an incentive to have that bottle be reused. Yeah, and you know, the thing about recycling, just recycle, but it's like when you think about how much energy it costs to sort through the recycling, ship it to the sorting facility, then ship it to the melting facility, and then the energy to actually melt it, shape it, ship it back to the warehouse, and then ship it to the company after that. It's like,
is so much. It's like, it's recycled.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just recycle. Like we're good. Like,
it's not. Well, yeah. For any other business owners or people who want to start a food and beverage company or almost anything at that matter, like honestly, even beauty products could do a thing where they like ship back the thing, or you go into somewhere and you can just like squirt in some lotion and then take it. You know what I mean? Like that's really what we need to have this change. I mean, yeah I think and people appreciate that and they feel like they're doing something.
Yeah,
because I'm like literally I'm starting to feel bad every time I throw away some like a one-use thing.
Well, and don't even, feel bad, you know, we're human, you know. It's like even like buying an electric car that, you know, runs in your house is solar powered. It's like it still took mining to get the car, you know. The batteries are like, you know, that's more mining, and you know, to ship it to us, there, you know, there's all these things. It's like we're moving. Taking steps, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction, but you also got to just work with what the existing is in the existing business models, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like back our ancestors and everything, you know, it took a lot of time, but that's what they did. They took the time to harvest their own food and jar their stuff and do all this stuff. And I feel like, I don't know, until we go back to that, like, but that's all we really need. We just like think that we need all these material things and we forget about like the basic needs, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because I love money and like really fine things. Like, you know, I want to have a 40-foot sailboat and a cat, like, and I will. And you know, I also am super into like rewilding and like hunting and spearfishing, and like those simple things are just like what sometimes is just like my happiest place is just doing simple things like climbing a coconut tree and chopping coconuts. It's like, it's just, it's so nice, you know? And yeah, a lot of those things are just completely free.
Yeah, I love your Instagram, even though you don't post that much. It's like, you are like the nature boy and you just, it's just so, it's, I don't know. It's like really entertaining. I wish you would post more, but yeah, it's just.
I'm gonna start posting more. This whole year has been kind of gearing up for a relaunch of my own personal brand and Find a Spring as well. You know, we've just been developing that, and we've got a lot of new, cool new products that are coming out that are almost ready for a big relaunch. So nice. Yeah, I'm excited.
I know, I'm probably moving out of LA, but like, I don't know where I'm moving at.
But we'll Everyone's moving to Texas.
Should I go there? Maybe. I was thinking about it because I want a more humid climate, like a little bit more humid, you know?
Oh my God. SoCal is so dry.
Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, I can feel it. And then whenever I go to humid, my skin does a reset. It like breaks out and then it gets clear. And then I come back here and then it breaks out for a little bit and then it gets clear. And I'm like,
right.
I mean, but that's not why. I just know I like a little bit of humidity, you know?
Yeah. Humidity, space.
Clean air,
community, like all of those things, you know, it's really important where you live.
I mean, the clean air is definitely one of the top reasons why I'm moving. I mean, I have all my top cities that I look at, their air quality, and I'm always like, Maui and Hawaii are always so good, and all these other places are so good, and I know what it's like to be there, and like, I just feel like I want to be outside here. I actually like don't even really like being outside.
Right.
It sucks.
Oh, no, I totally get it. I totally get it. It's like, what are you going to do? Hike around in the desert?
I know. It sucks. Well, California, it's just LA mostly. Like California in itself is really beautiful. Like,
oh yeah, for yeah. Sure. There's some beautiful, beautiful forests and mountains and an ocean. But yeah, I mean, like Hawaii, it's like, you know, there's just, I mean, you're so inspired to be outside because it's just so beautiful and so pristine.
Well, I think I'll be like moving there eventually. I just think it's really my dog situation, but.
Oh yeah. Hawaii is strict with the pets.
I don't know. I need to figure that out. So you know, let's
I actually snuck a dog through the.
I know.
One time. So that's
all. I know. Yeah. No, I might have her help me even. Like I've been talking to her about like, yeah, I've been talking to some Maui like connects about moving there, but I don't think I'm ready just quite yet. I think that's
a big jump.
And it's not cheap to live there.
It's true. You get what you pay for though.
So a little bit more about rewilding, like I know it's about conservation, but what are you most, I mean, of course we need to do this, but what is like your take on this kind of like, I guess, movement sort of that it is kind of happening?
Yeah. So Daniel Vitalis is like, you know, really spearheaded that. He's got a great new project, podcast, show. Called Wild Fed, and it's pretty interesting when you come to find out like hunters in America are actually the number one contributors towards nature conservancy. And yeah, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of hunters kind of get this bad rap. But it's interesting because you see, like, I've come to find I value the land and the ocean so much more now because I actually get resources from it and want to see continue for myself and future generations and to not see it get polluted. And I really, really understand why that's important. Just like with spring water, because I'm actually out in the landscape, in the ocean, and it just it becomes so much more important to you when you're actually part of the ecology. And there's something that's just so primal and fulfilling that I didn't grow up with. You know, I didn't grow up in a hunting family. Like, my dad was a fisher, so that was great, like having that experience. But it's just interesting because we've come so far disconnected from even like death. You know, like I killed a deer in Maui last year that fed me for months and months. Like, I know that it was.
How many months? That's crazy. How many months?
Probably like four. I mean, a deer can feed a family for like 3 or 4 months easily.
And like every other day, or like that you're eating?
No, that's, you know, eating deer meat probably twice, 2 or 3 times a week.
That's a lot.
So yeah, you get quite a bit. It's free. You know that it was a happy animal. Mm. Like, I like, with, you know, if you buy like even grass fed beef, which is great, obviously we don't want to do like GMO corn fed, what they call CAFO farms, like indenture, like slave animals that are just fed weird stuff. Just, you know, when you hunt, you know, like, cool, this animal ate a healthy diet. Actually in Hawaii, the deer here are a nuisance. There's too many deer. They will actually just kill them and let the bodies rot at sometimes when the populations get too high. So it's actually encouraged here. It's open season. So last year I got this deer, and like a friend of mine who eats meat, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you killed that beautiful deer. Like, what's wrong with you? It's like, what? So you think it's better if I just buy some meat that I don't know how it lived, don't know what it ate, and was completely disconnected from the whole process? Like, the process is beautiful, you know, getting to see the inner workings of an animal. It's like, wow, that's what my body looks like inside. It's like, it's quite a fun process.
Yeah, I'm totally for that. I mean, I eat meat every once in a while. And I just feel that that's the way to do it. If you're going to do it, I mean, for sure. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, it's like, duh, like you get the meat in the package in the plastic wrap. Part of the meat could have even had like disease in it. You know, they'll just like cut around it, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. You never know.
Most likely the animals, I mean, it's like a crapshoot. You don't really know.
I mean, it's nice, you know, nowadays there's a lot of farms that are really doing things right with grass fed and you know, treating the animals right. So, you know, that being said, it's like, I still love my lamb chops when I go out to dinner every once in a while, you know, like
maybe. But do you want to farm and then you can raise them they can graze all around?
Yeah, I would be open to that. I like hunting, I think, more though. It's more
wild.
It's more exciting to me.
Yeah.
Get to go new places and try different things, and like the thrill of the hunt, you know, I feel like that's ingrained in us, like especially as men, like, you know, like even like little boys are just like, you know, want to chase things with sticks and like,
yeah, like, no, it's so, I love it. I think it's good. I don't know if I would have the heart to totally do it, but like, I could definitely do the fishing and stuff. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think for a lot of people, the fishing thing is a lot easier to stomach than mammals. Cause you know, mammals are, they're closer. They're more related to us. They have lungs and hearts and the whole thing. So I can understand why that's a lot easier for people. And a lot of times it's a segue, you know, to like coming out of being vegetarian or stuff. I think fish is like a good place for people to start.
So how are you handling this whole COVID thing? Like, I just feel like for me, I know what I think, but I feel like I'm not totally ready to come out and be like, oh, this is like totally bullshit, but I guess I just said it. But how are you handling it, and how is it in Hawaii? Or, you know, I know you were in like North Carolina for a while.
Yeah. It's interesting because Hawaii is so different from every other state. It almost seems like a different country. Things are just really laid back here, but it's kind of disappointing to see that people are pretty diligent about making sure that you wear a mask, like almost everywhere. Mm-hmm. And like, even at the farmer's market. Yeah. And this whole thing, it's just absolute propaganda to control the masses.
I mean, it's like the masks are harming our immune system because we are like not getting the oxygen that we need. I mean, actually, for people who just need to put it on to go into a store, it's not as bad. But honestly, for the people who are like working all day in masks, I don't even know how they do it. I would not.
Well, the whole concept is just retarded. It's like we're just gonna hide from this thing forever. And yeah, who's to, like, I feel like a lot of the, like, the results that we're seeing of like how bad it is just really skewed to promote an agenda that wants separation. It wants people in fear, because that's how you control people. It's classic divide and conquer, you know, politics. Like, okay, like, yeah, now there's politics, now there's race, now there's masks versus the non-maskers, you know, like,
yeah. And it's like they're actually masking a lot of shit behind the scenes that's going on that people aren't aware of, you know, because they're,
well, that's the beautiful thing. That's why this is happening right now, because there's an election coming up and the forces that were are losing power and getting exposed for their horrible crimes. And I think Donald Trump I just thank God for him every day that he's actually one of the ones who's bringing these changes to the forefront. And, you know, I've witnessed firsthand how bad the media can twist things and straight out lie. And when I see like the same people who interviewed me, like the lady from CBS This Morning or the Good Morning America show or whatever it was, she was, you know, interviewing Bill Gates the other day. And it's just like so easy to see how, you know, they twisted my whole thing, saying that, you know, we were selling overpriced, potentially deadly water. And yeah, I just see how they spin the whole thing with Trump, how he's such a horrible person, and, you know, Bill Gates is a savior. And it's like, wow, like, what a bunch of fake news, like fear propagating fake news that's just not serving anyone except the people who want to keep their control and power and dominance.
I know, it's so crazy because I was never into politics. I just didn't care. Like, I was just not paying attention to it. But once all this surfaced and I did a little bit of digging and being like already really aware and conscious of a lot of stuff, I realized like, oh my God, like the Democrats, like, I don't even want to get into it, but I will. They play so dirty, like, and their agenda is so like sinister, and they make people needy on them. Like they make them the victim. So, oh, they need the government. So the Democrats.
Yeah, just close down. Don't worry, we're gonna give everyone stimulus checks. Just close down your business, and then like, countless businesses have closed down now because they're going against our rights to say, like, if I want to risk my life and go in a store and you want to risk your life risk your life in fake parentheses, you know, then so be it. It's, you know, this is America. It's like freedom of choice. But, you know, yeah, what happens then is you get inflation, like with, you know, just printing trillions of dollars, or not even printing them, just making them up on a database somewhere. And then what happens is the dollar's worth less. And it's the classic scenario, trickle down economics, like, okay, we're going to give bailouts to the big corporations and the government. And then if there's a little bit left over, you know, we'll give you guys a measly $600 check. It's like, what a joke.
So yeah, I think they just want to be, they know that if people need it, then they won't think anything bad's going on. But really, like Donald Trump and the Republican Party, like, yeah, there's still going to be corruption in there because there's been elected senators and there's been elected people within the whole system that need to be removed. You know what I mean? Right. But like, if it stayed, I think under this, where it's actually at, it seems crazy saying that, but like, it could actually really help. And they're making him look like he's like against the world things, but he's actually not, but he's just focused on like how he can only do so much at a time. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's dealing with tons of things at once, you know? And
oh yeah. And the whole, like the whole country against him, half the country, and then, you know, you get everyone else who's like, you know, like you, or even me, you're like kind of scared to like go out and say, because mm-hmm. there's so much hate against him, you know, like people's businesses get affected like negatively because you say you support Trump. So it's,
yeah, I know. And I actually met him like in New York at one of his golf courses. And I mean, he's just like a dude, like, I mean, a chill guy. Like, he might not be the best, like most well-spoken person, but he's actually, it doesn't matter. He knows he's doing what's right.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's definitely arrogant. He's definitely like, you know, he got some work to do. I mean, no one's perfect, but you know, I've actually seen some of his speeches that brought me to tears. Some of his
They cut off like all the good stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But you know, I see what's happening here is like the last fight for freedom of the last, you know, America. It's like the example of freedom for the planet. You know, America, the home of the free and the brave. And, you know, they don't like that. The you know, they want the big corporations, and not even so much them, but just the few, very few at the top that want to control everyone. And, you know, you look at like communism in China and spying and the social ranking thing. And, you know, it's like, who is the one who's putting a stop to that? It's Donald Trump. Like, no, we're not having your spying technologies here. We're going to call you out for your heinous crimes against humanity. And it's not cool. We're not going to support that.
Yeah, I think, well, the whole thing is, I don't know how this came about, but definitely the Democratic Party owns like all the media stations. So it's always going to be that narrative, and it's always going to be making him look bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think he's exposing a lot of people right now, like, you know, Epstein and Weinstein and Maxwell, like all of these pedophile rings are getting broken up right now, and people are going to be held accountable, and people are going to realize like there's a lot of celebrities and just powerful elites who, you know, you thought you could trust and you thought they were these great people, but now they're going to realize that's not so true. So once that happens, it's going to be like, oh, wait, maybe we can't trust CNN. Like, so yeah, I think it's all happening, and it's easy to like get into like fear, you know, like, oh fuck, like what's true, or like, fuck, like rioting and the face mask thing and the vaccine thing. But the end of the day, you know, we just gotta trust that it's all a big grand evolution.
I feel like you can even see how a lot of the presidents even the the people who are up for election, how they speak. It's like they're robots. Like they're.
Oh my God, Joe Biden is like, what a joke. I cannot wait to see those debates.
I mean, even how Obama talked, it's like, yeah, he talks in a way that like makes you feel kind of good, but you can
tell. Oh yeah, he's a good speaker. He's a good speaker.
But you can tell it's fake. Like you can tell he's just like, just knows how to speak. It just doesn't feel like it's coming from the heart at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, the whole thing, they tried to impeach Trump because of the, you know, all this fake shit that they couldn't prove. And now it's like, oh wait, actually the, you know, Obama administration and Hillary were the ones doing all of this illegal shit that you said Trump was doing illegal. And now the whole world's going to find out. And yeah, it's like, what a wild time to be alive.
I think it's like so crazy, the whole pedophile thing that I tried to avoid, because I tried to just be like, I'm keeping that negative stuff out of my mind. But really, it's not just even sex. It's like murder and like,
right.
Like, it's like so sick and like, I mean, it's definitely more of a, I mean, I guess it's kind of known, the whole adrenochrome thing. Like people, I mean, yeah. It is even on Wikipedia, like.
Right.
So yeah, I'll just say a little bit what it is. And it's basically harvested from a pineal gland of a baby. And that is like, contains a lot of DMT, which so does many plants, and everybody has this in them, but anyway, and then a lot of like these elite people take it, and I guess it just makes them feel super energized, and maybe, you know, feels like, but so does ayahuasca, you know. It's just like, I don't get it. And I think it's just the whole process and the energy into that is super dark. It's super like how they do it. I just feel like it's just, people get addicted to it. I mean, there's a lot of things that no one maybe will find out more, but I mean, it's hard to really say for sure about it. Do you know, what do you think about that whole thing? I mean, it's so dark. It's like this.
Yeah, like no, fucked up. It's torture, and it's feeding into dark entities. And I mean, it's just, it's not even a theory at this point. I mean, so many kids go missing every year in this country. It's like, where are they going? Well, yeah, that's where they're going. And, you know, again, it's like this whole thing where it's like with the border, it's like, right. It's like, oh, like, yeah, he wants to like segregate us. And like, you know, that's their narrative. But it's like, actually, it's like, wait, all of these horrible drugs are coming in from Mexico that are financing the drug cartels, which are rampant in Mexico and horribly violent. And then, you know, probably kids coming through the border there. So I'm just so happy that we're, you know, it's like, no, enough's enough. Like, we're not just going to let this crime continue. And it's just so obvious to me.
And then also, have you heard how the adrenochrome labs were in like that place in China where the...
Oh, someone told me that, like 2 days, Ronnie told me that.
Really?
In Wuhan. Yeah.
Yeah. So there could be this whole thing going on. I mean, there, it could be a lot of like things going on there with maybe them even maybe trying to put a stop on it too. Like, who knows? Do you know what I mean? So they're like, okay, COVID, but whatever, or, you know, we're going to flash you with all these vibrational frequencies to fuck you up, or, you know.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it very well could have been created in a lab. I would not be surprised in the slightest, honestly. It probably was. If I had to guess, I would say it probably was created in
a lab. So you don't think that it has to do with 5G? I feel like weird even saying it.
Yeah, I know David Icke says that.
So many people say it.
I don't think it exasperates it. I don't think it's like 5G is like, I don't think it's just that COVID doesn't exist at all, though. Personally, I think, you know, 5G is potentially really gnarly, but I think, I mean, people, like, even tribes are getting it, you know, COVID. So, yeah. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You know, you can't hide from it forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of weird things going on with the 5G because I think that, you know, it's banned. You can't even say that and COVID in the same sentence on YouTube, or you get...
Oh, my God. YouTube, what a joke. They're banning crypto now on YouTube. Do you know who Steve Wozniak is?
Mm-mm.
So he's the co-founder of Apple. He's actually the one who, like, brought personal computers to humanity. Genius, just absolute sheer genius. And he's actually suing YouTube right now. You can look this up, for crypto scams, because YouTube is promoting these scams with, like, if you look at a video of Steve Wozniak talking about crypto, which he totally endorses, you know, Bitcoin, talking about crypto, like, I mean, like, Bitcoin, Ethereum, he totally endorses it. So YouTube has these little banners that pop up. Hey, send us one Bitcoin and we'll send you back two Bitcoins. Just like, clearly a scam. Why are those videos all over YouTube when you search crypto? Because they want everyone to think it's just some scam pyramid scheme and not the truth that it's actually decentralized financial freedom that actually appreciates in value instead of depreciates like fiat currency.
Yeah, I bought some Bitcoin actually, but I've known about it for so, like, I think it was like 4 years ago when I was,
it's
like,
up today, it's at 11,000.
Then I probably made some money, but basically, yeah, when I was traveling in like Korea and India, a lot of people were talking about it when it was at $1,000 and I just didn't do it. But I mean, I'm going to keep it in there and just see what happens. But I mean, it's still, the only thing for me is like the cashless society thing, because that is also a thing that could be happening with the cash.
We're pretty much already cashless though.
Yeah, so we might as well.
I mean, how much, when you're shopping on the internet, it's like, you don't pay with cash. I don't pay my friends in cash.
No, I haven't really ever cash.
Yeah, so it's like, decentralized is beautiful because I can send you Bitcoin. It's almost instant. It's almost free. And the government can't stop it. It's like magic internet money. And yeah, I think more people are actually starting to accept it now. Like Alive Water, you know, people can pay for water or glass now in crypto. So nice. Yeah, it's just, you know, I didn't get into it until recently either. I bought in like around like 9,000. So
me too. I'm not going to lie. Like I did too. That's so like not when we should have, cause it actually went
down. But that's the thing. It's like, what are you going to say when it's at a, what are people going to say when it's at 100,000? Yeah, oh, I should have bought it at 10,000. You know, it's like,
I know, so, it seems ridiculous though.
It's not just like, you know, even if it didn't appreciate in value, which it will, I mean, there's only 21 million Bitcoin, fiat's unlimited. They can print as much as they want. There's no scarcity. It's like, what are we choosing? Are we choosing trickle down economics, or are we choosing decentralized money that's not controlled by the government?
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway from what we've talked about so like thus far is that there are a lot of really great positive things happening. It's just like, where are you finding your information, you know? Because these companies and these people are not getting mass media attention, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's so true. Well, I'm glad that you're doing a podcast now.
Yeah, it's fun. So yeah, I want to just give your websites again. It's alivewaters.com and findaspring.com. And don't believe all the bullshit about spring water. It's definitely like, or some people say that it's dangerous, which is just ridiculous, you know, to me. It's just like the most natural thing. So I feel when people do a quick search, like this goes back into the searching, when people do a quick search, they'll be like, you know, just find like the bullshit stuff. And then you just have to keep going, you know, and looking and realize, and it just makes sense. Like your heart.
Yeah. Rhythm. Dig a little bit deeper. Try DuckDuckGo instead of Google.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Try, do you know about Brave Browser?
No.
Brave Browser, baby. Check it out.
Is it better than DuckDuckGo?
Well, it's not a search engine. It's a web browser. It's like Safari or Chrome, but it's more private. Yeah. And actually you can choose if you want to have ads shown or not. They'll completely block the ads unless you say that you want ads, and then you actually can get paid for companies showing you the ads. It's genius. It's, you know, that's what we're moving towards, web 3.0. You know, it's the new way of doing things is on blockchain technologies.
Yeah, that just goes to show another thing that like people probably don't know, and I didn't even know about that. So yeah, I mean, it's just about doing your research, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm gonna have to have you on another time, but let's just close it out for now, I think. But I love you, and I can't wait to see you again in person.
Yeah, it's always good to see you. I really had a great time chatting with you, and really excited to see your podcast grow in success and hopefully opening up people to new ideas.
Okay, so you're listening to the Moon Mason Experience. Thanks for tuning in.